Christ took away our infirmities and bore our diseases. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side. A large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had greatly suffered at the hands of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And Jesus looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all outside. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and began to walk around. At that they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we come to the climax of the letter to the Hebrews that we've been focusing on for the last almost 3 weeks. After describing the holy hupomone we're supposed to have, that endurance, that perseverance, not to give up, it tells us where we derive that strength. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all of those who have had this holy hupomone, they're seen almost as in a stadium, cheering the runners on to the finish line, even if they're tired, even if they're weary, even if they're a little bit sick, even if they're wounded, cheering them on to victory. They're in a standing ovation of all those who have already crossed that finish line, trying to will them toward the end. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of those who have lived by faith, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us. A lot of the times we don't finish the race because we're carrying around all these balls and chains, all these weights, all this debris that comes from sin, that comes from our lack of forgiving others, all of these wounds that we're nursing rather than let the Lord nurse back to health. Let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, not walking it, not taking it inch by inch, but going for it, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. The Christian life is distinguished by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, just like Peter did when he was walking on water and could do that miraculous journey. But as soon as he took account of the winds and took his eyes off of Jesus, we know it's then that he began to sink and fail. To keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. The letter of the Hebrews says that when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we learn from him directly this holy hupomone. For the sake of the joy that lay before him as he was keeping his eyes on the Father, Jesus endured the cross. He despised its shame. He basically spit on its shame. He wasn't even going to consider how embarrassing it was to be crucified publicly. He despised that shame because he had his eyes on the Lord and has now taken a seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider how he endured, that's the word, same as endured the cross, this holy hupomone. Consider how he, with this strong, faithful, unquitting perseverance, endured such opposition from sinners. And he did all of this, why? In order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, he shows us how to persevere. At the end, it says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. You haven't been asked to pay that sacrifice yet. But keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, because if you do, then you'll receive from him the strength even to persevere if you have to be carrying a cross. To keep our eyes fixed on Jesus is what we see in the two great miracles in today's gospel. Jairus, the synagogue official, comes with his eyes fixed on Jesus to ask him for a great miracle. When we hear that phrase, synagogue official, it means that he was in charge of the synagogue. He managed everything that occurred. And by this point, Jesus had been booted from the synagogues because he had cured on the Sabbath. For Jesus to receive such a visitor, it meant that this visitor was desperate. He could perhaps lose his job. Jesus was persona non grata, and he didn't care. He had his eyes fixed on Jesus. When he came to Jesus, he fell down in homage before him and pleaded with him earnestly, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He despised the shame that some of his fellow Jews would have given Jesus. He despised the fact that there might be serious consequences for his career by going to Jesus. But the love he had for his daughter and the faith he had in Jesus made him do it. So Jesus started to accompany him. We know that Jesus had already cured people at a distance. He could have cured the daughter at a great distance, just like he had cured the son of a centurion who had likewise come to him before. But Jesus had other people in mind at the same time whom he wanted to help through this miracle. So off he went. You can imagine, they ran the race there. When somebody's dying, you know, it's not like ambulances wait at every red light and stop off at a 7-Eleven and buy a Big Gulp and all these other things. When someone's dying, they put on the sirens and they fly. Jesus would have been moving. There was a whole crowd walking with him. But then all of a sudden, Jesus slams on the brakes and says, "Who touched me?" To ponder this scene is one of the most, I think, incredible things as we look at the gospel. Jesus would have been getting jostled by everybody. The Middle Eastern folks invade everybody else's aura. They're constantly bumping into each other. The question Jesus should have asked was, "Who didn't touch me?" Everybody was touching him. But there was a woman with a hemorrhage for a dozen years. A woman who kept her eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, who probably had to crawl through the crowd, risking being stampeded in order to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Jesus knew that among all those bumping into him, somebody had touched him in a totally different way. Touched him with faith, touched him with a holy upomone that would accept no obstacle to impede her path. Who touched my clothes? Finally, this woman, probably thinking she was greatly in trouble because she was bleeding, she was ritually impure, and anyone she touched, including Jesus, would now become ritually impure, incapable of going into the temple. She thought that she was maybe approaching in order to get a tongue lashing or worse. She came and she confessed everything to the Lord. And Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace, be cured of your affliction." She persevered because she kept her eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. We've got a lot to learn from her. Can you imagine Jairus at this time, wondering how long Jesus is going to tarry, caring for this woman, getting into a conversation with her, worrying about who's touching her clothes? And then the news came. Too late. Jesus perhaps shouldn't have stopped. Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher anymore? But Jairus kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. Jesus spurned, he despised, he disregarded the message that was reported. And then he turned to Jairus and said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And then he went to the house, and there were the wailers and the weepers all over the place, weeping as we would at the death of a 12-year-old girl. And Jesus said something that brought him great mockery. "Why this commotion and weeping? This child is not dead, but asleep." He was testing Jairus, testing the faith of Peter, James, and John and his other disciples. Everybody ridiculed Jesus. Jesus was setting himself up for a tremendous failure if he were going to fail, but he wasn't. And he just had people keep looking at him as their eyes were doubtless Niagara Falls. Then he went to the little girl, took her by the hand, he touched her, and said, "Little girl, I say to you, rise." Kum, that word for resurrection, rise from the dead. Same word that the father would say to his own son on Easter Sunday. Kum, get up, arise, experience a foretaste of the resurrection. And the little girl got up. She immediately started walking around, and everybody was astonished. They couldn't keep their eyes off of Jesus. The letter of the Hebrews tells us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because we will learn that same holy perseverance and faith. We need to learn how to crawl to Jesus, to do more than just touch his clothing, as miraculous as that is, but to come up on our knees and touch him as he touches us on the inside in Holy Communion as we receive him. Jesus wants us to approach him and keep our eyes firmly fixed on him in prayer. One of the most beautiful things of Eucharistic adoration is we can behold the Lord to whom we look to save us, and not just know that he's there intellectually. We can behold him under the appearances that he has assumed. This is what helps us precisely to persevere in keeping our eyes fixed on him who has pierced the veil and entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven. The martyrs are those who keep their eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, who resist even to the point of shedding their blood, who learn from Jesus the holy upomone to despise the shame of suffering and death in this world so that we might follow Jesus all the way. And that's precisely the type of vision that the Bishop St. Blaise had, the Bishop of Sebastia in modern-day Armenia, who died in the persecution of Licinius in the very early 300s. He, in the midst of all his sufferings, never took his eyes off of Jesus. And that's where he learned the strength to endure whatever the world could bring up, because he knew that as soon as he would die, Jesus would be able to say, "Blaise, I say to you, arise." As we come forward at the end of this Mass today to get our throats blessed and ask St. Blaise's intercession, not just for God's healing of any maladies of the throat, but every other illness, we're asking St. Blaise to help give us the type of faith that we see in Jairus and the woman caught with the hemorrhage. Let us ask St. Blaise to pray for us, because he was able to get that locked in vision from holding Jesus in his hands and receiving him every day. That same awesome privilege that it was worth coming through the snow to receive here. Praise be Jesus Christ.